Liberation Army.
Yes.
So Mike is talking to this guy on the phone, and then the guy says, "You're from WNEW?" And Mike Isgro says, "Yeah." He says, "Can you play some Grateful Dead?" Mike Isgro didn't know a whole lot about the Grateful Dead. He said, "Well, we'll see. WNEW, Scott Muni, is he there?" Mike says, "Yeah, yeah." Shortly thereafter, Kat said, "Well, let me talk to him. I want to be on the radio. I want to talk to Scott Muni. I want to hear the Grateful Dead." And Scott, you remember, we came down the hall and we said, "Look, this is the situation. There's a guy, he's robbing a bank. He's holding people hostage. And as strange as this sounds, he wants to talk to you."
Right. What we haven't said is he had a radio with him. He came in the bank with a gun and a radio and was listening to me. No one knew that until this point in time. So now that he's listening to me, he wants me to play his favorites. He mentioned only two, the Grateful Dead and Dylan. So could I play some Grateful Dead or Dylan? Well, yes. How about the next total part of my show? That's all I did. Now, I know the audience wasn't aware right away why I was doing that. Go ahead.
It's October 6th. It's 1975.
I know I can't escape.
Oh, God, you got a lot of noise. Can you hear anything?
I thought
you'd definitely, I know her having a problem right now.
Yeah, kind of a drag, you know? But, I've gone this far. Here I am. I can't get out.
I didn't mean that with this stuck inside of Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And all that. That's Dylan saying it. And,
I think Dylan.
You a local guy?
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact.
Okay, look, then I can talk to you one-on-one, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Which is really what I want to do.
Okay. I'm right here.
Yes? Yeah, you are. You got a radio there? Can you hear it now? With Dylan, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear it.
Do you want to say anything? Is there anything that anyone can do that you want, that you need, that we can help?
I guess not. You know, what can be done? Here I am.
Well, no.
I want to get some, I want them to start acting on getting some negotiations set up at the West Coast.
Okay, right. Well, now I assume that authorities are doing that, right?
I haven't seen any. I let three hostages go. They wanted to see some good faith. They said if I let this one guy go, they'd get the alarms off. Still, the alarms are ringing. They're doing nothing for me. They're not cooperating with me in any way. I don't know what else to do but to carry out one of my threats, because they're not doing anything.
You mean you've asked them to, first of all, turn the alarms off?
Yeah, right. That's very simple.
I can hear the noise in the background.
Right. Isn't that a drag?
Are those the bank alarms?
Yeah. Well, there's one. Someone opened the door and ran into the basement, And so the alarm went off. They say it's battery, but it should be able to shut it off.
Yeah, okay. Now, we'll have someone in the news department try to get to authorities now to get the sound off, too. Because I can understand that's got to get you up a little tight. Mike Isgro is working on that right now. Anything you're asking for, some things that obviously, if they have to make contact with people in other states and so forth, might take some time.
I guess.
Are you able to relax? Are you able to be cool now?
I'm pretty relaxed. If I had a couple of numbers of some good cologne, I could really relax.
Okay. Oh, you don't have that, I'm sure.
No, I don't have any smoke with me. I should have brought a stash.
Can your head, can we talk, or can I do something, or is there anyone you would like for me to contact for you?
No, I'm not in touch with anyone, on the outside world, really. I've been out of touch with everyone. And here I am, by myself.
You are by yourself?
Yeah.
Well, you got quite a responsibility. You got a number of people there. Well, I guess some people are just like you and like me. I guess there's some street people there. And were some of the people customers that you have there?
Yeah, I've got a few customers, and I guess I've got three customers, and... And how many? Four customers and three employees.
Okay, and I know you let a couple of people go, right?
I let three people go. I let the bank manager go and two customers. You know, this one guy attacked me, man. I had to knock him down. And, you know, I didn't hurt him. I just got him off my back.
You know? Why did you let him go? Did you give him a message?
No message.
Something you needed?
He was just a hassle. He had terrible vibes. He was bad vibes all the way. He just, you know, in a situation like this, you have to be cool. What else can you do? You know, you have to be cool and wait it out.
Well, that's exactly.
I probably wind up dead, you know. It's the only thing that I can, you know.
No, one of the reasons I think why I'm talking to you and why I think you want to talk too is that whatever you do want or whatever, you know, something that begins ends. But if we can keep that from happening, then I would certainly, you know, that's why I'm talking to you, really. In any way, if I can keep you calm and keep the situation calm and see if we can get people together to talk to you and try to get something that you want.
I'd like to get out of here some way alive, but I don't think that's going to happen, you know. I just... You know, because these guys don't want to see me get away.
Yes.
And America doesn't want to see me get away.
Wait a minute.
Not the majority of Americans, anyway.
Hold it.
I'm sure I've got some people out there on my side. And
Cat?
Yeah, but I got the rednecks who want to string me up.
Well, wait a minute. So far, you know, so far, the position you're in, you're certainly not going to be shot or anything, and as long as you're not doing harm to anyone else, no one's going to do harm to you.
Anyone in any way.
Can I?
The one guy who did attack me, I just, you know, pushed him back, handcuffed him, and got him out of here.
Can I walk in, talk to you, bring you out, if you are guaranteed that no one is going to shoot you?
Oh, for sure, Scott. I wouldn't mind seeing you in person.
Man, if I came there... and walked in, and you got to recognize my voice, and walked out with you knowing that no one would shoot you, and everyone would be all right. I'm going to tell you, nobody wants to shoot you, and you don't want to shoot anybody else.
If you want to come down here, or talk more, I don't mind. I enjoy talking with you.
Okay, if I'm going to come down there, and if I can help, man, I'm going to make it known to them that I'm there, and you know my voice, and if you hear my voice, and you want to talk to me, I'll come in there and talk to you, man.
Out of sight.
I'll be the middle person. Okay, Cap?
So what do you do? You get off at 6, right?
I get off at 6, and Dennis is going on.
What time is it now?
It's 2 minutes to 6.
No kidding. Well, I guess that's about it.
You know, it's amazing. He knew your schedule. He says, you get off at 6, right?
Well, you know, all the revealing things he'd said, I my mind, of course, left anything to do with music or anything, and I tried to get next to him, like right there, and when he said there's no one there with him, he is no longer a Seminese liberation person. He's somebody that's really goofed up. And I had already established in my mind he was a pussycat. Not because he became known as Cat Olson, but I knew that this was not so that hopefully he wouldn't be forced into being a desperate person, a desperate enough to kill or to shoot. And, this was not your normal day. But I left everything. I had no idea what was going on around me or what time it was. But it worked. You know, it worked. And I did go down there. As a matter of fact, as you remember at that time, as soon as I walked out of the studio to decide on getting down there, I was told that the FBI was outside in a car. There were two FBI men in the lobby to take me downtown. So then I got shook up. I thought, whoops, I didn't realize exactly what had been happening, but now all of a sudden reality was there. So on the way down, the guy got on the radio and said, we've picked up the package, and they had code words and everything. So all of a sudden, this package, which was me, is headed downtown, breakneck speed and all that. And as soon as we arrived on the scene, then I realized this was like seeing a movie. There's 20,000 people in one block. And because that rumor had gone out about Seminese, there were snipers, there were policemen at every balcony with high-powered rifles and all aimed at this one little tiny bank. The bank... the storefront of the bank was as wide as a smoke shop, and that's all. So this wasn't a big bank or anything. And the people, I mean, it was just trained. There was that one door and everything, and I thought, oh, man. So there's a deli next door, and the FBI was not allowed to enter the scene one block away. They dropped their package off, and the local New York police would not let the FBI in. So I thought, uh-oh, here's some politics already. Then a hefty guy got a hold of me and brought me into the deli, which was their command center. It was next door to the bank. They had already gone into the basement of the bank from the deli and were in the bank Cat didn't know that. They were in the basement, and they were figuring out a way they were going to jump up and get him. But I got on the phone with him there, and he said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm next door." But I found out there was a law that had been passed, and I could no longer, no one could go in, even if I signed a paper saying that I was responsible. So they wouldn't let me go in the bank. So I started talking to Cat from the deli next door, and I got on the phone again. There was one gentleman who was not in uniform who was in charge, and he was a Yalie. You know, he had a nice tweed sport coat. He'd smoked a pipe, and he was cool. Meanwhile, I heard guys, "I'll kill this son of a bitch. I'll blow his head off and everything." I thought, uh-oh, Cat is right. There's half of them want to kill him and half of them because they thought he was Symbionese. Well, anyway, the thing got hot, and I got with the guy, the dude with the pipe, and said, he isn't, you know, is there... You know, we got to do this easy. I've got to figure out a way if I can get by the door or something. I know he'll, you know, he'll come out. And he said, "Well, what we've done is he asked for some beer and some sandwiches, and we sent it in, and the beer is laced. And he'll be asleep in a little while." And so that did happen. And he came out very peacefully, and they put him in a squad car, and off he went. Now, what really happened after all is said and done is that he never said, "This is a holdup." He walked in, he said, "This is a seizure." He didn't ask for money, so he never, ever went to court. He was never tried. He went to prison right away and served 5 years at a couple of prisons, and he corresponded with me. And but he never went to trial, and he got out, and at the moment of time entering the bank, had been asked to leave home by his parents. His father was a principal at a school. His girlfriend broke up with him, told him to take a walk. He was sleeping for a couple of nights outside the Fillmore East that we were talking about. That was his home, and he had 20 cents. But he didn't ask for money. He was going to, but he was too high. He was too goofed up. He didn't know what was going on. So as it turns out, he served a few years, and he's married and has a couple of children, and he lives in Philadelphia, and he's a straight person. And but what a day that was in the life. Yep, Cat Olson story. Well, don't want to do one of those again, I tell you, because, well, there's always a song for it, isn't there? Phil Oakes, we lost.